Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Good morning, everyone. I have some other bad jokes. You want to hear them? No. This is kind of an honor of you, Ryan. Good to have you in the house.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah. Ryan has, do you still do it, Ryan? The bad jokes every morning. So probably, tell me if you've actually written some of these on your board, all right? Because we all, you know the medicine, laughter's good medicine, right?
Right.
How many have found that in this season that you could have laughed a little more, looking back, right? Anybody else? It's like, I could have laughed a little more, right? I'm not saying you're about to laugh. You may just groan. But let's see if I can get here. Oh, boy. Some of these are really bad. Here we go. On behalf of COVID, why don't ants ever get sick? Ryan, do you know the answer to this? Why don't ants ever get sick? You've never put this one up on your board? Because they have little antibodies. Oh, isn't that bad? That was bad. They get worse. Which bird has the worst manners? The mockingbird. Come on. Oh, this is good. What do you get from a pampered cow? A pampered cow, what do you get? Spoiled milk. Oh, boy. They just, I know, I told you that we just gotta laugh. What did the big flower say to the little flower? Hi, bud. Do you think this is what heaven's leaning over for? Probably not. I like this one. How does NASA organize a party? They plan it. Did you know that one? You had that one, see. Okay, one more. I promise. Maybe. Oh, what was a good one? Oh, why aren't koalas actually bears? They don't meet the qualifications. I'm going to put this away now. You're welcome. Laughter's good medicine. We really honestly do need to laugh more in this season. And do you know that joy is actually a third of the kingdom? Really, that's third, righteousness, joy, and peace. So righteousness, honestly, righteousness is by the cross. This is not my message, a little freebie, but righteousness is because of the cross. But joy is something, honestly, we have to go after. Philippians talks about it. We got to think upon those things that are true and joyful, all those things. We got to go after joy. I'm not saying you have to really read bad jokes like that, but I just felt like we needed to laugh a little bit today. Primes the pump. Yeah, gets us all smiling. See, turn to your neighbor and say, you already look way better. You didn't come in looking bad, but you do look way better. All right, I'm going to carry on. We've been talking, I was talking, powerful word by Pastor Rod last week. Encourage you to go back and listen. If you have not had a chance, I'm going to pick up where I left. I've done two already on the topic of, it was kind of like unity, which has to do with love. Absolutely. I wrote this just in my notes really quickly. You got to get this. Unity is a choice. Did you know that? We will never enter a place where we get to that place where we're like, we've now hit the level of unity. Unity will always be a choice every day. Who is married in here? Raise your hand. How many know that unity is a choice? Raise your hand if you've experienced that. If you've been married one day, or 25 years, or some of us 53 years, some of us more, unity is always and will always be a choice. Amen? I'm going to read again prophetic words. I don't want you to get tired of hearing where we're going. And I love what you said. It's true. I love the story of Abraham. He was Abram, and then he had the Ham put onto it. Abraham, father of many nations. Every time he said his name, every time. And I agree, it must have been embarrassing. No kids, I'm the father of many nations. So when we read these, you may be like, I'm so tired of reading this or hearing this. But listen, we declare where we're going. Remember John F. Kennedy, JFK said, we're going to put a man on the moon. And with those words, he declared where they were going. And what did they do? They put a man on a moon. Brian Schwartz said, what's going to mark this house is actually not going to be just great exploits. Okay, so when I said unity is a choice, I believe these prophetic words are a choice then, right? So what's going to mark this house is actually not going to just be great exploits. It's going to be the unity that comes upon a people, a unity that God restores in such a mighty way. Jordan from Bethel said, I saw the word revival over you guys, not just a revival of signs, wonders, and miracles. I love how both words talk about great exploits and signs, wonders, and miracles. I think that's powerful. I see a family revival where actually this revival is birthed out of family, out of connection, out of unity. And I feel like you guys are going to see the greatest sense of unity in this area than you've ever seen in a while. So, Lord, we just declare that's where we're going. Lord, we don't always know how to get there, but we know we want to go there. And so, Lord, I pray today as I preach, as I share, Lord, I thank you for the word that Rod gave about heaven looking on. Lord, I want my voice to be heaven's voice. And, Lord, we want to head into unity. We want to go to that place where we are unified. And we just declare, and we know it's a choice, so we just say yes already in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I forget, if you did not get communion on the way in, make sure, did anybody not get it? Let's just do it this way. Did anybody not get communion? Maybe we can get an usher, Steve, something like that, can grab some because some did not get it. We're going to do it after. I want to make sure you have it. If you're watching online at the end, we're going to do communion as well. We got these nifty little communion things. Aren't they great? So we're not going to do it yet, so just hold on to it. We're going to do it at the end. All right, let's turn to, I'm going to go to one Psalm 133, just going to read this quickly, and then we're going to move on to something new. Psalm 133, this is a psalm where it's declaring what unity is. So I want to start there. You probably have New King James or NASB or something like that. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. I think it's really great. It says, how truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest of Aaron. And this is where I added in, because it talks about that anointing. It was rare, holy, and costly. I added that after doing research of that anointing oil. That anointing oil was rare, it was holy, and it was costly. So unity is rare, holy, and costly. It's dripping down, now it's talking about the oil, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. To me, that talks about, you know, unity is not just on part. Because remember, in the New Testament, it talks about the body of Christ being parts of the body and arm. So to me, it's saying like unity is throughout the whole body, right? It's great that we can be in unity as senior leaders, but we don't want just unity in senior leaders. We want unity as senior leaders and staff and every person that comes to Antioch and hopefully the entire body of Christ. Amen? Amen? So it says, dripping down from the beard, running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes, this heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. For this realm of sweet harmony, God will release his internal blessing, the promise of life forevermore. Amen? How many want more life? Now, I'm not talking about just days numbered. How many would like to have a long life? Okay? How many would like to have a life full of health? If I'm going to live long, I want to have health. Amen? Part of this blessing is talking about this life that we get, this life forevermore. And so I am pursuing that because it is good to pursue. Amen? Amen? Amen, amen. All right, the other thing I want to quickly mention. More than ever before, I am determined and I am convinced that a lot of times what we have and what we know is not what we should be going after and what we should know. So I say it this way. Jesus came to model one thing and one thing only. He came to model what kingdom would look like. And he paved the way for us to be able to enter it, not when we die, but when we receive Jesus Christ, we enter into the kingdom. And he came to model it. That's what his whole, ministry, 3 years of ministry was about. He modeled a kingdom and what that culture looked like. Now, reality is, we as the body of Christ throughout the world, I think we have parts of the kingdom. And I actually think there are some churches that actually have a better understanding of one part of the culture of the kingdom, and another church has a better understanding of another part. But how many know I want the fullness? If we can go after the fullness, why wouldn't we want it? So I'm really determined in this season to go, Lord, what does your kingdom culture look like? Because there's a lot of culture going on. Now, I told you I would do this because it's just going to be fun. I want to show you culture. So Reg, yes, that Reg, the one that's looking behind, could you come up for 1 second? I know you'll kill me. It's all right. You don't have to prophesy. And Rod's going to come up too. I don't know if you've ever heard the two of them speak. Culture. Can you guys do me a favor and speak like you would growing up?
Yes, boy.
Here. You do this.
All now, right. if you see... Yes.
You can just go say it out.
Yes, well, no. My son. You give him that boy, and it's all over with then.
Just have a conversation together like you would.
Jumping, dying, screeching, bawling. What did you just do, my son?
No, we're doing that by.
That's it? It's all
set. That's it.
See, so what it is, my son, is if we were out there by doing
something...
That's
all she wrote.
Yeah.
What did you say?
It's all she wrote, what?
Finished.
Done. Finished.
Talk about a fishing trip.
Fish? Oh, we have some marvelous time, didn't we? Now, that little thing there, that meant it was really, really, really,
really good.
Yeah, okay, that was wow. Way up there, right? But I mean, Dad and I can be out in the shed and we can, or out somewhere building something or doing something. And it's funny if a neighbor hears us, because I will say to him, yes, boy, yes, my son, we're going to do that too. This is my father. Yeah. But for some reason, culturally, but other people have no idea most of the time in there. I mean, I wasn't born and raised, but I am so grateful for my heritage that I have. But it is another language.
Another world.
Okay. And when Dad goes back and then used to come back, I would have to go to the stores with him and translate.
But it's English.
You think it is?
It's
Newfoundlandese.
It's Newfoundlandese. But it is English. It's just hard to understand at times, for sure.
Thanks, boy. Get out of the mic, boy. Okay. Thank you, son. How do you live in the same country but talk an English language and we can't even understand it? What was the thing with your mouth? So if my sermon's really good, are you going to start doing that? Reg, will you do that? If my sermon's good, will you start doing that with your mouth so I'll know, like that, the teeth thing, so I'll know it's like really good, I'll feel edified, built up. It's interesting, isn't it, that we can live in one country and have that language, but it's English, Newfoundlandese. But what is it? It's culture. It's beautiful culture. I think I'd like to go visit. I would probably need you to come and translate for me. But we've talked about this over and over again. Culture is simply a set of understandings, beliefs, languages that makes up that culture. I want you to be aware. I'm sorry, Aaron. I said I wouldn't move a whole lot. My poor daughter's on the camera. And what I want you to realize is Psalm 133, when it was written, that psalm was written. We're going to go on a bit of a journey of unity. That psalm was written for the Jewish people. 12 tribes. One nation made up of 12 tribes, really. And he's like, hey, we want this to be beautiful unity. Now, we've talked about this. Unity among family can be so difficult. But he's trying to say, hey, unity among these 12 tribes, 12 people groups, really making up the Jewish people. If we can have unity in that, it is beautiful. It's glorious. It's amazing. Now, I want you to turn with me to Luke. We're going to go on a little, like I said, a little kind of journey of just looking at unity and maybe opening our eyes to see that unity is a what? Choice. Unity is something that we have to choose to come into on a regular basis, just like marriage. That's why actually Jesus said it was like marriage. And marriage was like the body of Christ. In Matthew, we're going to have this story. Let's pick it up. Luke. Luke 6. Verse 12. We've talked about another thing called mindset, right? Your mindset determines everything of how you view things. So we have to realize that there are Jewish people that are waiting for a Messiah. And their mindset is not the Messiah that we're going to have. The mindset that they have is a Messiah that's going to come and overthrow the Roman government, and they're going to become a powerful nation, a powerful people. So you can imagine when Jesus walks around and calls and gathers disciples, that he's gathering people with this mindset and understanding. A lot of these fishermen, a lot of these people literally failed and never could become disciples of other rabbis. So when they were called to become a disciple of this new rabbi, really, that was gaining ground, they were super excited. Super, super excited to be called into this discipleship. Now it says in verse 12, it says, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out, Jesus, to the mountain to pray." What is about to happen is Jesus is about to pick out of his disciples 12 apostles. So he goes up on that mountaintop, and like we all would, right? If you're choosing leaders, you're like, "I'm going to go pray." Now, it's interesting. It says this. He says, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer." Now, I'm going to put my little twist on it. I think he went out to pray. This is my twist. And I think when Jesus showed him his 12, he prayed all night. I'm serious. I think when he prayed, he's like, "All right, Lord, Father, it's time. You're going to send me 12, and I'm excited for these 12. Show me the 12. And he starts getting the names, and then he prayed all night long. I'm serious. And there's a reason for that. I think sometimes Jesus went every morning to pray because he's like, "Dear Jesus, you've given me these disciples and these 12. Could you, like, really give me another 12, please?" Because there's some context that we don't understand. It's a very serious thing. The 12 that he's about to pick, I did a lot of, you know, I had some context, but I did a lot of studying last night because I really wanted to understand the 12. And you know what's interesting? That there's not even a lot known to this day about some of the 12. Their names, and we understand that they became incredible missionaries and went and brought the gospel, but there's very little known about some of the 12. And then you have a couple that we have a little more understanding. Of course, we have a lot of understanding of Peter. But it's interesting that he's about to call his 12. So he went and got the names and prayed all night, "Dear Lord, help me." And then verse 13, "And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles." Now, I don't know about you, but I can imagine. So we have disciples, and now he's calling apostles. And if I was one that was left out before, and now I already get to be a disciple, and I get to follow this new radical rabbi, now I'm thinking, he's calling 12. He's calling 12 to a higher position. Pick me, pick me, pick me. Wouldn't you? I would be. He starts calling them. Verse 14, "Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor." Now, he just flipped through those names pretty quickly. But let's give some context. Turn over to Luke, but one chapter before. We're going to talk about Matthew. So we're talking about unity. We're talking about unity as a choice. We're talking about the fact that he thought it would be great to have unity within the Jewish culture. Now we're taking Jesus, and he's gathering people to him. And he says throughout, and we're going to look in Matthew, it talks about how unity is so important. And look who he chooses. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew's a tax collector. You need to understand right off the bat, that was not... So in Matthew, for Matthew, that was a good position. But Matthew, who is also called, anybody know who Matthew's called? Levi. Levi is a Jew from the tribe of Levi, who is a tribe of priests, who is now a tax collector. Tax collectors work for Rome. Tax collectors are despised. Tax collectors are despised because they have the authority to take money for Caesar, but also to they could choose whatever they want. So they could take more money and put it in their pocket and give the rest that owes to Caesar. Jewish people hated tax collectors. Jewish people hated tax collectors because they literally give up their Jewish right because now they're working for Rome. And Jesus is going to walk by, and let's read it, Luke 27. We're talking about Matthew, Luke 27. After these things, this is Luke 5, verse 27. After these things, he went out, and he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answers and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." But let me read that again. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." We just read those lines and we have no context that Jesus walked by a despised Jew who steals from fellow Jews and literally says, "Hey, I'm a rabbi, come follow me." We have no concept of how foreign and how unrighteous in their eyes this must have been. We have to remember, but there are other disciples that are Jews following Jesus at this point because they already called the four fishermen. And they're like, "We are in." And he's walking with them, and then he calls a tax collector. And we're talking about unity. He calls the despised position, and he says, "Hey, why don't you come follow me?" Not only that, he then goes and sits and has a party with them. Church, you're looking at me like this is interesting. Like, do you have any the concept would have been, this is so immoral, this is so wrong, Jesus has got to be totally the wrong Messiah because he's picking people he never should. He's picking despised people. We're talking unity. It gets even better. So he takes Levi on board. Okay, he's Jewish, that's great. We'll somehow figure out this whole problem that he's, you know, stealing money from us. Well, you know, right off the bat, you can see that he's going to gather people that for 3 years, he's going to teach them how to walk in unity. You got to realize it was not like, "Hey, we're all in, we're friends, woo!" Like, seriously, the other title I had for this is unity is messy. We like the wee part of it, but it's the mess that Jesus had to deal with every day. So the first thing I want you to understand is if we're going to walk in unity, it will be messy. Most of the time, every day. If we're waiting for that kumbaya moment, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. You know that moment after a conference when the glory falls and just everybody is loving and in love. Like even the one you're angry with, you're like, "You look beautiful today. I love you." That's the glory. And we can live and tap into that. But the reality is there is a normal process of walking things out that we're going to disagree. Even if you gather the most like people that you can find on the planet and put them around you, you will still disagree. Do you realize that? How many have been married for 50-something years and still disagree? How many have been married for 25 years and you still have disagreements, ever? Where to go eat? I don't feel like eating that. Well, I want to go there. Where should we walk today? I don't want to go there. Just, we're humans. This is what it looks like. We'll disagree. Okay, so you got Matthew. You understand. Do you understand that he was despised? Worked for Rome. Okay, now you have another guy called Simon the Zealot. Now, I did a lot of research with Simon the Zealot because there's just not a lot known. But one of the things that they really believed, they tried to figure out, was he a zealot because he had a lot of zeal? Or was he from the faction that were called zealots? And most of them believe that that's the truth. Okay, so let me tell you about the zealots. The zealots hated Jews that worked for Rome. Hated. Like, okay, I'm not just talking about I hate you. I'm talking about they killed them. You know, it's interesting. I was doing research. You know that evil, there's no new evil under the sun. Did you know what they would do? They would send people into crowds to incite riots. Sound familiar? Evil's evil. It will do it all the time. You know how they incite a riot? Sometimes we think that, and our society is being challenged right now. I do not want to downplay it. But when this book was written, it was way worse. Because they would walk into crowds and they would kill people just at random to incite riots. It was bad. And we see that happening now. Horrible. But you have Simon that's part of this zealot group who hates Jews that work for Rome. And he is starting. This group was all about overthrowing Rome. And so here he does. Jesus literally not only picks him to be a disciple, he makes him one of the 12. So I imagine in my mind, I just kind of get creative. I think, what must have been like when he was calling out those names? You know, you go back and, you know, I think of school, right? Those horrible moments in school. That is one thing I'm thankful for. I'm not really cool on everybody gets a trophy because, you know, everybody wins. I don't know. Anyway, that's another story. But I am thankful that we don't do the everybody lines up and somebody picks, you know, because there's always the kid that gets picked last. You know, somebody gets picked, you're like, woo, I'm first, you know, and I get to be the captain. And then you have that one person that's, you know, doesn't get picked. But I picture that in this moment when he's calling out these names. And when it was day, okay, let me just stop. You realize why Jesus might have been praying all night? Yeah. Right? He's like, Peter. I like Peter. Peter's boisterous. Peter's loud. He's, you know, Peter's a fisherman. I got Peter. Matthew. Father, did I hear you wrong? Matthew. Okay, that's going to be a tough one. Simon, I don't know, you're a prophet. You must hear things every once in a while and go, Lord, really? Like you just kind of said one earlier, right? Heaven's looking over. Really? Okay. So he starts saying these names, and I have a feeling that as they were saying these names, I can see Matthew's hand going up when he called Simon. I don't think his hand went up when he called him. He's like, of course I'm in. I'm Matthew. I'm coming. You know, I'm forgiven, blah, blah. And then he's like, Simon. Jesus, you do realize that Simon wants to kill me, right? Question. How is this going to work? Because he wants to kill me. And they actually all don't like me either. But let's put them all together, call them the 12 apostles, and let's make the church. Did you hear what I just said? Let's put 12 people that are antagonistic together, make them leaders and apostles, and let's build the church. If any of you wondered how we can do this today, that's just a great example. We can all just breathe deep because Jesus has faith that we can make this work. Okay, that's just a good word. I just feel God all over that. He has faith in humanity filled with the love of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, because this was before the Holy Spirit entered in the picture. And he's like, we're going to make it work. And for 3 years, he walked around with this ragtag antagonistic group, the Sons of Thunder, that wanted to call fire down to destroy cities. Like, look at these people. Peter just spouts off his mouth. Matthew, the tax collector, who everybody hates. Simon wants to kill Matthew. The Sons of Thunder want to throw down fire. And he's like, and these are my boys. Man, if it wasn't written and we didn't read it, we'd be like, that's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. So this is what Jesus does. Now, you need to understand, those are all Jewish people. I love it. If you look at Matthew actually goes on to write Matthew, and he pens the genealogy, and Matthew does not leave out any of the mess in the genealogy. He never leaves it out. He talks about Rahab and different ones where if you were a Jew, you'd be like, let's just erase that line. And he's like, no, we're leaving in the mess of the gospel. We're leaving in what difficult things that we have a hard time comprehending, we're going to leave those in. I love it. You guys good still? Turn to Colossians. Let's take it to another place. Colossians 3. So now we understand, okay, in Psalms, 12 tribes, it's Jews. You got to come into unity. We got the disciples now. We're picking people that are all Jews, yes, but he wants them to come into unity, but they're antagonistic. They are against each other. They want to literally kill each other. And he's like, let's find unity. Let's go to another step here, Colossians 3. Colossians 3, to me, is the most brilliant, beautiful piece right now and forevermore. I love studying Colossians. I love studying Ephesians. Verse 1 says, if then you were raised with Christ. So we need to understand, okay, there is nothing wrong with a new fee culture. Well, there might be some things wrong, but there's nothing wrong with the part that we saw. You know, I can, Monia and Benoit, you guys would come up here and speak French all day long. I wouldn't understand two words probably because you do so fast. Even the words I do understand, I wouldn't understand. You have a culture. There's an Italian culture. There's all these beautiful cultures. Families have cultures. There's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus comes on, and then Paul continues to write, and he's talking about, hey, we need to now remove ourselves from understanding behavior from this culture, and now we need to learn how to function in a kingdom culture. And I've told you time and time again, I'm trying to tell you time and time again, this kingdom culture comes out of a new creation character. We're going to look at that in a minute. And new creation character actually has new creation behavior that we're supposed to behave in. And a lot of times we're trying to find, I think we do this a lot, this is the line, and we're trying to figure out, we really want to be here, but we're like straddling my culture and this age, and yet we're supposed to be walking in kingdom culture. And the greatest thing we could do to figure out how to walk in unity is how to figure out how to walk like Jesus did in his culture. Because a lot of times the things that we do are actually not based in his culture. They're really just the way we've always done things. How many parent the way it's always been done? I have. And then you come up and you realize, okay, that just is not working. And you have a brilliant man like Danny Sook that comes on the scene. Anybody else thankful for Danny Sook? If you've never, listened to some of Danny Sook's things, you need to. He's just a gem. Somebody I talked to, that they said literally Danny was the glue that kept Bethel together, like the leadership. Because again, that's ragtag. You got Chris Valentin, you got Bill Johnson, all these different people. And then Danny came and kept them all together. And Danny has some brilliant perspectives on parenting that are kingdom perspectives. He brought kingdom into parenting. And parents that are like, well, my dad did it this way. And the wife is like, well, my mom and dad did it this way. And he's like, okay, let's do kingdom parenting. It's beautiful. You guys still with me? It says, then if you were raised with Christ, how many have been raised with Christ? If you gave your life to Jesus Christ and you were water baptized, you came out of that baptism and you were raised with Christ. How many of that's such a beautiful thing? Such a beautiful thing that your life died and you are now raised with Christ as a new creation. So everybody look at your neighbor, somebody you can talk to and say, hey, did you know that you're a new creation? Literally says your old man passed away. Not your old man. Anyway. That person that you were before you knew Jesus died. Now, it's interesting. Some of the wording you're going to find, that old man is dead. You could choose to carry it around a little bit, but it is dead. And it's interesting, the wording, because he's going to be like, you once were, but you're still kind of acting this way, and you need to get rid of it. So he says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. I think for 3 years, Jesus taught them to seek what it looks like to walk in kingdom. Hey, the kingdom's at hand. This is what it looks like. The kingdom has power. This is what it looks like. The kingdom has peace. This is what it looks like. The kingdom has joy. To me, that tells me that they probably had a lot of laughs around campfires. You know, I wonder if 3 years towards the end, they were like laughing over the fact that they got picked. Do you remember, Jesus? You picked Matthew and Simon. That was such a fun moment. Not. I think they had a lot of joy. It's to set your mind. Remember, mindsets create the narrative that you play out. And so here it's saying, set your mind. So we want to have a kingdom mindset so we can live in kingdom principles. Amen? Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. All right, here we go. Therefore, put to death your members. So, we're about to look at things that do not belong in a new creation character. Now, why would he be saying that? I want to pause there. Look at verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11. Actually, let's start at verse 10. And have put on, so this is what you've put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Again, we have to have context because this does not make sense unless you understand what he's talking about. I'll take a step back. He calls the Jews, 12 Jews, to become apostles. When Jesus dies on the cross, he returns and he says something that must have rattled their understanding because he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Yeah. Yeah. You mean just like my people group, right? You mean all the Jews. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You mean my best friends, the ones that I know? Oh, no, I did a story about that. It's called The Good Samaritan. I tried to show you. He literally, in that moment, says, you need to go into all the world. And they've only known teaching Jews. Do you realize that was the biggest game changer ever? Because now they have to go. We're talking about unity with the 12. Now we have 12 tribes. Now we have unity somehow with the apostles. And now you're saying we're going to have to go into the world and preach the gospel and repeat what you just did in 3 years? You want us to now do that and repeat it? With the good people, right? Okay. Well, there is neither Greek nor Jew. In Galatians, it talks about Gentile or Jew. It was basically you're a Jew and then there's everybody else, right? Gentile, Greek, and then Jew. So Jews and then everybody else, which he referred to as Greek or Gentile. So now they're like, okay, everybody else. This is Paul now writing this. That's crazy. Circumcised nor uncircumcised. He just kind of repeated the fact that, you know, Jew or not a Jew. And then he says this. The barbarian and the Scythian. To me, it's like, whatever. You know, I think of barbarians. They're rough and tough. Okay, barbarians were exactly what we think. But the actual word barbarian comes from non-Greek speaking people. They actually said they used to mock them, like, because they were speaking Greek, but all they could hear was bar, 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 bar. So they called them barbarians. I had to look it up. It was actually literature. It was a document. But we don't understand this is barbarians were ruthless. Barbarians killed whenever they wanted. Barbarians were nomads and traveled wherever they wanted to go. And they were actually said that they were hard to tax because they just, if they knew the tax people were coming, they just picked up and left. Like they were ruthless people. So he's adding them into the list. And then he says this, he says Scythian. See, before that, he's comparing things. He's like Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised. So they have a hard time understanding why they put that in. Because a Scythian, like if a barbarian's bad, Scythians are off the charts. They are the most cruel people that they could understand at that time. That's the word that they use for the most cruel, ruthless people at that time. Like, if you've ever seen Viking movies or something like where it's just, like, just take out your sword and kill you for no reason. That's what he's talking about. Are you getting the understanding that he's now adding people into this picture? Like, it started with the Jews. Brethren. And now we're adding people that are antagonistic. And now we're adding people that are just off the charts, impossible to minister to in their brains. And he's like, yep, they're all available for you to go minister to. And when they come into Christ And when they are raised again in me, you're going to have to teach them now to have my character, new creation character. Are you tracking? So that's why he needed to write a few verses before. He's like, okay, let's talk about what we need to get rid of. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of those things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. I think it's interesting. He's like, hey, you used to walk in those things, but hey, you still got to put those to death. To me, what that means is, yeah, I know that stuff is dead in your life, but you still have some residual. You need to put this stuff to death. Anybody else want to agree? Sometimes you're like, I know I'm a new creation. I know I'm born again, but why do I still have this? Okay, anybody else want to admit that? Why do I still have a temper? Why do I still have that thought? Why do I still think that way about this people group? Yeah, your old man's dead, but there's some residual that still needs to die. And a lot of our animosity that comes, there's things that still just need to die. But when I look at the world today that is so up in turmoil and things are like, how could we ever reach people? I'm so thankful he put those lines in because we have the faith now of going, ah, those people can be reached too. The people that you think right now, I'm so angry with them and why are they doing this? They can be reached too. That the gospel can actually affect their life and they can come into the kingdom. And we have to start with that platform. We have to start with that understanding of going, I know I'm seeing things right now that I disagree with. I know I'm seeing there are people in this department, in this area, and in this country. But did you know that God wants them to all come into the kingdom? Yeah. I'm not hearing a, I'm not. Yeah. It is absolutely true, because that's why he's saying all these things. And he's like, if then you were raised in Christ. So then he goes on. It's almost like you have to go backwards now and go, okay, so if a barbarian comes to know Jesus, do you think he's going to have, do you think that when he's water baptized, he comes out of the water and doesn't still have some baggage? If you don't think so, then why did, who took out his sword and cut off somebody's ear at the last minute? And that was somebody that walked with Jesus for 3 years. He's like, oh, no, we don't do that. Jesus picks up the ear, heals the ear. time out. We're not doing that today. Not kingdom. Yeah, wrong kingdom. So they come out of water baptism, barbarians and Scythians and all these people. And he's like, yeah, they could have come out and they're going to rise in me. But boy, you're going to have a lot of discipling to do. And it's not going to be overnight. It's not like they came out of the water and had no issues ever again. I'm sure when they were walking around, they had their sword and they'd be pulling it out. And whoever was discipling them at that moment would be like, no, put it back. Wrong kingdom, right? Because he goes on and says, listen, put to death your members. And he goes, like, you read the Bible and you realize there are people in the church. Did you know that they're still doing prostitution in the church? And he's like, I got to write a chapter on this. Didn't say it that way. He wrote a letter. He's like, you can't have sexual immorality in the church. You can't, that old prostitute thing that you used to do to sacrifice to your gods, we don't do that anymore. It's a new kingdom and it looks totally different. But a lot of times we're like, wouldn't they know this? No, they're coming out of cultures that have their own culture, their own set of beliefs, all these things. And he's trying to teach them to go, that's the old culture that you lived in. That's your old character that you lived in. Oh, those are your old behaviors, that how you behaved. We're going to teach you how to be in the kingdom now. And if we want to see a world change, we have to have the same mindset of going, Lord, what does your kingdom look like? And how do we bring that? And how do we usher that in? Because I don't know about you, sometimes I want to be that guy that has the sword. In those moments when you're angry and you just want to like, could I, please? And he's like, that's why he said, hey, you don't know what spirit you're of. You need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Amen. What I love about it, in Galatians, it gives a very similar list, but it actually adds there's not even male and female. Game changer. Whoa, wait a minute. Males dominate, women submit. And he writes this, no, we're all one in Christ. We all are in the kingdom together, and we're going to learn how to function together. It's interesting, you know, Paul writes some of those things. You're like, oh, how do we do this? It says women shouldn't even talk in church. And goes on, if you look, Paul has a whole bunch of women that minister with him on a regular basis, and he puts them in charge of things. That's a whole nother topic, isn't it? I got to close. Just a few scriptures, new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anybody in Christ here? Amen. Woo, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Galatians 6:15, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. Why am I saying all this? Unity is messy. The reality is, if we disciple people properly, we're going to have people that come in that are messy. And look at yourself and go, yep, I start with me. I'm messy. How many would really love some of your thoughts and moments to be placed on a screen? Anybody? Why? Because we have messy thoughts sometimes. I'll never forget, I'm trying to remember where we were at, and LaDance was there. It was a Watchmen thing. Barry, somewhere, and we were at, I'd never gone to anything with Watchmen, and I got invited to go, and I wouldn't have thought that I had, you know, different moments in my life, the Lord revealed that I have racism towards black people. I didn't know I did, and all of a sudden, in one moment, God reveals it, and you're like, oh, that is so ugly. How is that even there? And then I'm with LaDance, and I realize I have prejudice against French people. I didn't even know that was there. I'm so sorry. But I'm working this whole thing, and it was like almost a lot of English and a lot of French people. And I feel this irritation rising up in me. I'm like, where is this? I honestly, I don't even know where it came from. But it's those moments where it's on the screen, you know, in your life, and you're like, I don't want anybody to see that. And I remember one worship service. It was both impactful and funny at the same time, because I'm standing right at the altar because everybody else was at the altar and we're worshiping, and LaDance is a French team and they're up there, and I'm mesmerized by the love and by the love that they have for each other and the dance moves. I'm being radically changed on the inside while they're dancing. How does that happen? God, I don't know. Because if I would be like, your therapy needs to be watch some dance. I should do that for you, Rod. That would be fun. Better yet, you need to dance. So as I'm watching this, I'm being overwhelmed by God's love. And this honor is filling my heart for my French brothers and sisters. And I just close my eyes and I start just soaking in the love of God. And I'm being radically impacted until somebody, it might have been you even, that nudges, or I just open my eyes and I realize everybody's gone. And LaDance is trying to come off the stage to work in the front, and I'm the only person standing there. I'm like, awkward. Run off. But I remember afterwards having a chance to share of the honor that God put in my heart towards a people group that I didn't even know these people, and instantly it was destroyed. That is a supernatural moment. It doesn't always happen that way. And I'm sure if I actually hung out with them for a while, I would probably find that some of that old stuff is trying to come back on. Maybe I'm being irritated by something. And I'd be like, that is not God. That is not kingdom. That is not new creation. Put that away. But it's not like a one-time deal. It would be great if we came out of the water of baptism and we never had a negative thought. We never had a thought against our brother or sister. It would be great. But the Bible teaches us over and over again, you're going to have to deal with that stuff. You're going to have to compare the gospel, the kingdom, to what the earth is showing us and go, do they line up? As I'm watching the world, and by the way, I had a chance, I just went through different things, and I'm seeing it across the world, different pastors all trying to go, dear Lord, help our tongue. Dear Lord, help our actions, because as Christians, we should not behave this way. It's a challenge for us right now to go, Lord, bring me back to kingdom so I behave the way you want me to behave. When I want to type something on the computer, it's either God or my wife that usually stops me. I've wanted to respond a few times to somebody that's doing something, and she's like, don't you dare. Yes, Jesus. There's neither male nor female. That is Jesus speaking to me. Because I, just like you, get frustrated, or I get discouraged, or I get things come up in my life, and I'm like, dear Lord, that shouldn't be in there. But my point is, if we're going to walk together in unity, we have to realize those things could still be there, but let's deal with them. Let's not try to gloss over it and go, hey, my life is not messy. I'm perfect. None of us would say that. I know that. But sometimes I think by action we do that. Sometimes we need to sit down. Like I had to sit down and have a conversation with Walter, my brother. Because the reality is I grew up in white Hickville. Like seriously, there was one black person in my high school. And he grew up in a white culture. So even though his skin color was black, I would say he was probably more white because that's the culture he grew up with. And when I listen to Walter, I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to understand. So I've been on a journey. I've been on a journey to watch things. And my heart grieves for what my brothers and sisters went through. I literally start watching these movies and I cry because I had no context. Of course, I knew racism happens. But when you watch a movie based on scenarios from the past, you're like, how could Christians treat people this way? It's like, Lord, teach us in this, because the Bible clearly says there's no longer. You could put black and white in there, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. We could put all those in. He's like, we have to figure out a way to get along. We got to put these things aside. And if it has nothing to do with kingdom, get it out of the way and get kingdom in. So we can treat people with absolute respect and dignity. And by the way, it goes a step further because he wants us to do that before they're even saved. Do you realize in the gospel, he just keeps taking it to a whole nother level every time he speaks? Oh, you said it was murder when you kill somebody. I say when you speak ill of them, when you say raka or dumb block or stupid, it's like killing them. Like he just takes it to the next level constantly. And he does it with this. He's like, okay, I know you want them to be saved and then you'll treat them that way. He's like, no, you got to start treating them that way so they will get saved. But church, last thing, we're going to take communion. Sorry, I'm going long. Turn to Matthew, and I'll close. Nope. Yep. Nope, John. Please understand, I am not trying to make it sound easy. I hope you know that. That's why I said messy. We like the wee, it's just all fun. But it's messy. And I want to tell you, we have to embrace the mess and have dialogue that goes with it. Sometimes, again, no concept. No concept of things. And I can't get into every culture or understand every concept. So the Lord's going to have to teach me as I talk with someone to go, Lord, help me just understand their heart and their pain. So much pain. Do you see the world is crumbling under pain. The beautiful thing is that we have peace. We are healers. That's us. We have joy, peace, righteousness. All these things are part of who we are. So we get to grow in walking into places and bringing the kingdom. John 17, verse 20, he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for all those who will believe in me through the world, through the word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us. And here's the line, that they, the world may believe that you sent me. Huh. The closer we get to unity, the closer we get to walking in kingdom, the closer we get to having kingdom behavior, new creation behavior, the more the world, not everybody, but there will be many that go, oh, what is that? What is that? Because you disagree and you still get along. You don't always see eye to eye, but you still love each other. You talk things through. It reminds me of when COVID began. Get your communion out. I remember when just the flood of people running to the stores to buy toilet paper. Isn't it? We're funny now, you know. It's just like, what? What did we do? Don't raise your hand, but there's probably, I'm sure, people that are still trying to work through their stash of toilet paper. It's just what, you know, there's this mob mentality. You run in. But I remember going into the store at Thursday because we had to go shopping. We needed some stuff. And I'm like, Christy, do you need me to pick anything up? And I did not expect the stores to be in chaos like they were. And you ask Heather, she knew, she will remember that day forever. And I remember just going, I'm going to change the atmosphere. We talk about it. We preach about it. And I remember just starting to joke around with people. And before you know it, we're laughing in our line. I don't even remember what we were doing. I was being silly. And it was just so cool because at the very end, the girl in front of me, or behind me, she said, hey, I'm so thankful that I was in line with you. I needed that because I was scared. I thought, Lord, we are instruments to shift atmospheres. If I could go back again, I hope... Hindsight's 20/20. I would have loved to have jumped up on the counter and grabbed the microphone and said, hey, these cashiers are doing a fantastic job, aren't they? Let's just give them a round of applause. And I guarantee that would have shifted the atmosphere. Because everybody was panicked at that moment. But I think everybody would have acknowledged, hey, this is a tough situation and they're doing a fantastic job. Let's just love on them. Whew. So let's open up. I don't know about you, but in the last 6 months, I've been challenged. I've had emotions of being angry, discouraged, frustrated, lack of understanding, you know, trying to understand in the midst of riots, but understand protesting and the pain behind people groups. And there's so much going on simultaneously in our world right now. So much. It's not one thing. There's multiple things. And all I know is that as Christians, we do have an answer. His name's Jesus. How we present him will really determine who comes into the kingdom. And I know I don't always do it well, but I know that I want to go. I want to grow. I want to figure it out. I want to be so saturated with God's kingdom that my thoughts become his thoughts. That my behavior becomes his behavior. And when I want to lash out, I feel Holy Spirit say, no, put away your sword. Put away your tongue. Put away that typing. Put away that thought. Put away that judgment. And get into me. Because the world needs us. Church, the world needs the church and Jesus Christ more than ever before, at least in our history. Right? So Lord, I thank you. We've been talking about being raised in Christ. Lord, I thank you that it's all because of this body. The body that we take. We do this in remembrance of remembering that you died and killed these things for us. But there is effort on our part to continue to put to death these things. So, Lord, as we take your body today, I ask, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, I ask that you would begin to reshape our understanding, reshape our minds. We just say, help. I think that's the simplest thing we could say. Help Jesus so we can be unified and walk like you did. In Jesus' name, amen. As you get the blood ready, communion. Lord, we thank you for the incredible price that you paid. Lord, sometimes we stop and we forget there is nothing clean or nothing holy about us apart from you. You did it all. You paid for our righteousness. You paid for our healing. You paid for our freedom. You paid, you paid, you paid. So, Lord, I pray that as we just go about our week, that you would remind us, yep, it's all me. But we stop and we say, thank you. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for letting your blood be shed for us. Thank you for becoming the spotless lamb once and for all. Thank you for being the sacrifice. The Hebrews knew only to have sacrifices, but we have one sacrifice now and forevermore. And we just say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we go. Amen. Oh, we lift up students today. Students and teachers that will be heading back into very much chaotic situations. And Lord, we just pray that even as our young people go back, that they would be such light, that even their presence in classrooms and teachers in classrooms would actually change the atmosphere. Give them great courage, give them great peace. And we ask, Lord, that you give teachers incredible strategies this coming year. In Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you. Pray the Lord Jesus cover you, bless you, fulfill, and fill you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.